Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, talking with classical homeopath Vera Resnick, and you're listening to another episode of Who's Reading the Organon?
Hi, Debbie. This is Vera. Hi, everyone.
Glad to have you here. And
likewise.
And we're just going to get right into some of our inspirational, motivational tweets. And this one comes from iPavi, who says, "Some days there won't be a song in your heart. Sing anyway." That's a quote by Emery Austin. And I thought that kind of related to the aphorism, the poetry that Samuel Hahnemann expressed in one of our recent aphorisms. And then another one by Lori Marino, who's very big on Twitter. Many people have retweeted her, and she quotes Ram Dass, who says, "As long as you have certain desires about how it ought to be, you can't see how it is." So this kind of relates to how we filter and how we put up our own screen to what is possible. And then someone named Faith Pica said the simplest tweet I've ever read. It's only 3 words long. It's, quote, "Anything is possible." That really hit home to me. I don't know how do you feel about that one, Vera?
Oh, I like that
it's
one.
It's so short.
That's, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Another one by Go-Go Hubbit. This is kind of humor. I like a little pick-me-up. And it says, "For people who like peace and quiet, a phoneless cord." Faith Pica also said, "There is no one like you. The mold was broken when God made you." And so that's a little bit, she also says, "He has plans for you." That's not really a quote. That's her own little thing. And now on the network, Gary Weaver started a new study group for those wishing to learn how to use the Boninghausen Pocketbook Repertory Method. Take a look at it and join. Please also look at the new cured cases on the forum and notice the live stream of the Gulf oil spill and consider what remedies can be used to alleviate the toxic vapors that are affecting people's health. There's a blog about it, so click the comment button. And lastly, Dr. Nishant has an ongoing post regarding using the nebulizer as an application method for our homeopathic remedies. See what other people think and give us some comments, whether it's a way that you might be interested in giving people a remedy. I give the show to you, Vera.
Okay, I
leave it up to you to lead me into the aphorisms today.
Okay, well, today is a little less fraught than the last couple of days when we've been going through all the things we're not supposed to be doing. Today the question is really in 262 and 263. It seems to be a lot of what pushes the patient when he wants something when he's sick in acute disease. Let's read 262.
Sure.
Okay. "In acute diseases, on the other hand, except in cases of mental alienation, The subtle, unerring internal sense of the awakened life-preserving faculty determines so clearly and precisely that the physician only requires to counsel the friends and attendants to put no obstacles in the way of this voice of nature by refusing anything the patient urgently desires in the way of food, or by trying to persuade him to partake of anything injurious. I find this very interesting because I don't know about you, Debbie, I grew up in an environment where people threw nasty medicines down you saying, the worse it tastes, the better it is for you. I mean, perhaps this is a typically British thing, I don't know.
Whether they say it may not taste good, but it's good for you.
If it's bad, it tastes bad, if it feels bad, if it's uncomfortable, it's good for your soul and probably for your body. Have you heard that one?
Yes, I have. I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either, I must admit. But very often, if someone is sick, Hahnemann is actually giving a lot of credit to the subtle, unerring internal sense of the awakened life-preserving faculty. The idea that someone who's sick might actually know what's good for them, I think, is quite revolutionary.
Mm-hmm. The body is giving signals, and he's specifically dealing here with acute diseases, which are very strong, which are usually rapid. You know, they onset you think of as being rapid, and the life-preserving fundamental survival instinct of the human being is coming into play, and you're getting very clear, distinct signals. And he's saying, don't suppress that. He's saying, go by that. And the first thing that came to my mind was how a dog will run out into the lawn, or a cat, and start eating grass if they're poisoned or something, to initiate this regurgitation and getting the poison out of the body. And that's the first thing that came to my mind for some reason.
Interesting. To me, it's kind of a relief that someone out there is giving validity to what a person wants and doesn't want when they're sick. And it's just interesting that the physician only requires to tell the friends and the family and the grandparents and the parents-in-law and just put no obstacles in the way. Just stand aside. If the patient really wants something, find it for him.
Well, it also talks to me about comfort. You know, the person is trying to find something that's going to alleviate their pain, that's going to make them comfortable, that whatever position they want to be in, whether it's eating ice cream or Jell-O or, you know, something that you normally is on the no list from aphorism, the previous aphorism, that one was all no's and this one is all yes.
Right. I think also if you think of the Ignatia-style response, the Ignatia with a sore throat who wants to eat dry toast, and this is the aphorism that lets that Ignatia patient do that, that says just bring them what they ask for, even if it's not logical to you. You know, like someone could be having the shivers and wanting ice cream. I'm not sure. What remedy would that be?
I've been thinking of phosphorus, too, because you think, a person who has a sore throat and they really don't feel good, but they want ices and ice cold drinks when you might want to wrap them up and keep them warm. Mm-hmm. So, and the body has very distinct ways of expressing itself, whether it's feeling an inner heat and an outer cold, or reverse, an inner chill and an outer warmth. And to actually listen to what the body is telling you, and then be able to determine the best matching remedy.
Mm-hmm. So also that means that if we don't suppress what the patient is asking for, we're going to get some more clear symptoms out of this acute disease.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's probably involved too.
Yes.
Let me read 263 and let's see what layers it adds to the issue. I'm reading from Berica, by the way. Although some other translations have been recommended, I'll mention them either this session or next session. The desire of the patient affected by an acute disease with regard to food and drink is certainly chiefly for things that give palliative relief. They are, however, not strictly speaking of a medicinal character and merely supply a sort of want.
Mm-hmm.
The slight hindrances that the gratification of this desire, within moderate bounds, could oppose to the radical removal of the disease will be amply counteracted and overcome by the power of the homeopathically suited medicine and the vital force set free by it, as also by the refreshment that follows from taking what has been so ardently longed for. In like manner, in acute diseases, the temperature of the room and the heat or coolness of the bed coverings must also be arranged entirely in conformity with the patient's wish. He must be kept free from all overexertion of mind and exciting emotions.
Mm-hmm.
To start in a way from the end of the aphorism, that's also very interesting because you know how sometimes with fever patients, they want less coverings and sometimes people cover them up and stifle them with blankets to bring out
yes.
the sweat. And this is saying no. This is saying if the patient wants to be uncovered, let them be uncovered. So I think that was quite radical for the time. It's quite radical amongst some people
right.
now.
Well, that circles right about to the beginning of that aphorism 263, where it is want, which I can read between the lines to say want versus need. So someone on the outside is looking at this individual and saying they need such and such. This is what I'm going to give them to take care of their situation, where the opposite is what do they want and desire for this refreshment or comfort, as opposed to what you might think that they need in another way. And something else that comes to mind is we are still talking about an acute disease, something that comes on rapidly and is self-limiting. And typically the individual in this heightened state of panic or fear, whatever is coming on, they feel like death is near because we think of an aconite as being one of a typical acute remedy. And so if death is near, then it's almost like give the patient their dying wish. I don't know why I came up with that. But
I think that also relates to what's at the end of the aphorism, and then we'll go back to further into the aphorism. It says he must be kept, the last sentence of this aphorism is, he must be kept free from all overexertion of mind and exciting emotions, which means sometimes it's not necessarily the thing that he wants that will do him good, but it's letting him know that he can have what he wants that will do him good.
He can have what he wants. And he may not necessarily need it or take it once he knows he can have it.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's as if the aphorisms previous, 260, mm-hmm. 261, 259, they all relate to disciplining the patient in the chronic disease, in a way saying to the patient, you can't have what
yes.
you want. Even if you want it, because you need to learn
yeah.
discipline. And 261, 262 and 263, where we're in the acute disease, mm-hmm. it's saying in this state you can have what you want, just be calm.
Okay, well, I'm reading a little bit more information here as to who Samuel Hahnemann is addressing. So in the 261, mm-hmm. he is talking more about the individual and their own ability to deal with their own inner desires. So it's that one person's own, what's the word that I'm looking for? Control of there's a word that I can't remember, but you know, like when you're addicted to smoking or something, so they feel as if they can't take care of their own individual habits. They can't change them. So
mm-hmm.
it's really that aphorism is addressing the person. But this aphorism 262 and 263, or 263 is really addressing those who are around him and caring for the ill person. So it's talking about those who are friends and attendants. So here we have a third party that he's teaching and educating about how to care for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to go back a bit in aphorism 263. Hanuman is not open-handed and just give the patient anything he wants. He does say that within another expression, and we'll go to the footnote as well, he says, the slight hindrances, the gratification of this desire within moderate bounds,
so we're not,
could oppose to the radical removal of the disease, will be amply counteracted by the homeopathic medicine.
Right. So if somebody's going through withdrawal from an addictive drug, and then you're not going to give them a dose of heroin or cocaine or give them a pack of cigarettes or whatever, if they're going through an acute crisis situation like that.
I suppose also if we just bring it into day-to-day, if the patient is asking for ice cream and more ice cream and more ice cream, you're not going to empty out the nearest Ben & Jerry's or whatever. You're going to give ice cream, but within moderate bounds.
Right, just satisfy them.
So, right. Now let's just pop to the footnote, because he's talking about, will the gratification of this desire cause a hindrance? Could it oppose the radical removal of the disease? And he relates to this in the footnote to the aphorism. He says this is rare. Thus, for instance, in pure inflammatory diseases where aconite is so indispensable, whose action would be destroyed by partaking of vegetable acids, the desire of the patient is almost always for pure cold water only. So here, in a way, Hanuman is, again, he's telling, as you were saying, he's telling the friends and the attendants, the patient will have an unerring internal sense of what's good for him. And if it's an aconite-style disease, the patient will be asking for cold water, not for some kind of drink which has a lot of vegetable or food that has a lot of acid in it.
That would definitely cause an upset.
So it would cause an upset. In a way, you see the interlinking of the disease state, of the remedy that describes the disease state, and of the patient's desires that show the symptoms that will lead us to the remedy, understanding the disease state. Do you see what I mean? There are so many. It's like when we were talking previously about the proof of the pudding. You know that you've been dealing with an aconite-style disease if you give aconite, and it helps.
Yes.
Right? And if it's an aconite-style disease, then the patient will crave pure cold water almost always.
Okay.
Which will be part of what leads us to give the remedy aconite, which will be proven to us by its good effect on the patient's illness.
So the footnote is giving us a practical, tangible example. Is that what you're saying?
The footnote is giving us a tangible example and is demonstrating again to us this linking. It's not that we're all very brainwashed in our approach. I think it will take several generations of people who've been brought up with homeopathy to reduce this, that we don't necessarily click that if we gave aconite, it means we're dealing with an aconite-style disease, which will show itself in all kinds of signs and symptoms. We are giving a medicine. And I'm not sure if I'm explaining myself that well.
Well, I guess my question to you is, what if someone was asking for tomato juice or lemon, which is acid, and in their state of sickness? What does that tell us?
That possibly tells us that this patient is not needing aconite, that this patient actually needs maybe belladonna, maybe something that registers with cravings for lemonade or tomato juice, where there is a craving for something acid.
Okay.
So it all kind of links back, and in a way, maybe this is part of the importance for us, rather than have the friends and attendants just throw fruit juice down the patient because they think it's good for him, to listen to what the patient is asking for, because, again, we come back to the beginning of our discussion, that will help refine our choice of remedy for this patient in acute.
Okay, this is a really excellent question. Why? Because whenever I'm sick or whenever the kids are sick, I always say, and most people I think say, take lots of fluids because you want to flush out whatever's there. You know, you want to clean the body. Or we always give chicken soup because it's got a lot of healthy, natural antibiotics, you know, in that combination of making the soup. And you think that's nice, hot, and soothing. So are you following me?
I'm following you. And also, certainly here where I live, it's a problem because if someone gets sick and they start dehydrating and they don't want to drink, so what do we do with them? Their unerring inner internal sense is going to land them up in the hospital with an IV.
Right. So what do you do in that case? They're dehydrating, but they're not thirsty.
I think in a way we're coming back to this within moderate bounds. If someone is not thirsty, then you make sure that they drink moderate amounts.
Well, maybe that's telling us that they only want small sips of water. That leads us to arsenicum. So if you're listening, you know, if you're watching what they desire, then even though in our own logical wisdom, we think you need to flush it out, that person is actually indicating the remedies that's needed.
Mm-hmm. And it's possible that once we give the remedy that's needed, the person who doesn't want to drink will start calling for water.
Well, typically they probably then get an appetite because they normally are unable to digest and eat very well when they're in an arsenicum state. So, yes, then the body begins to go back to a normal function.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're right. They would then be able to take more frequent sips of that tea or whatever they're taking.
So it's like we come back to 262 where, where Hanuman says the physician only requires to counsel the friends and attendants to put no obstacles in the way of this voice of nature by refusing anything the patient urgently desires.
Give them what they need. Give them what they desire.
And give them what they want on the assumption, within moderate bounds, on the assumption that if they want it in an acute state, it's probably because they need it. Which makes me wonder when, you know, I have this thing about a good rule is one that translates through different areas of activity, not necessarily just homeopathy, but in life in general. So should we give people what they want within moderate bounds?
Mm-hmm. Well,
and should we only give it when they're under pressure?
Well, what I'm thinking is this is still talking about acute, and an acute is a self-limiting short period of time. It's not ongoing. So, yes, you know, sometimes we do something for a very short time. And it's okay. And it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You want to refresh what you said?
Well, the implication is if we try to translate this idea, the implication is when a person is under deep stress, see what it is they crave, and see if you can give them something of what they crave within moderate bounds. How does that translate to you?
That sounds very good. You're tempering the way you're dealing with the craving, but you are still dealing with the craving. You're still enabling the person to feel like they're getting comforted and getting what they want and what they need to reduce anxiety and stress. So are we just about at the end? Do you want to give an umbrella, or do we have a little bit more time?
We have a little bit more time. We probably have about 3 minutes total, 2 or 3 minutes total. I just find the whole concept of we see from these aphorisms, also from 259, 260, like you were saying, it's talking to a certain type of situation, a certain type of person. I realize I'm waving my hands in the air as I'm talking.
What are we getting here in this gesture?
Just that I usually talk with my hands.
But this must be a very important point you're talking about.
But what I feel I'm trying to say is that Hanuman has a certain view on life, and it's a view where discipline and regulation are very beneficial in general, but there's a time for relaxing the discipline. There's a time for giving into craving. I mean, on a regular basis, if someone craves spiced wine, he would probably say, no, don't give it. Oops. On a regular basis, he would say, don't give it. But in an acute situation, if you have a patient who is really unwell, there's a time to relax. So there's a certain worldview that's coming across here from Hanuman that I find interesting. It's an extreme discipline, perhaps over extreme, I don't know, everyone will have their own opinion on that, tempered with a gentleness and faith in the life force and in the patient in times of acute situations.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what? I think we're going to be ready for our closing, which is our umbrella, and I'm kind of putting together a couple of ideas. Do you have any?
Okay, go ahead. I don't have anything right now.
You don't have anything? Okay. Well, I have two, and two are a repeat of the tweets from the beginning of the show. One of them that I read, and you know, this is all synchronicity. None of this is pre-planned. The first one was the Ram Dass quote, and it said, as long as you have certain desires about how it ought to be, you can't see how it is. Can you believe how that fits?
Mm-hmm.
So kind of telling that the caretaker, you need to watch and look at the person's desires, because otherwise you're not going to see how it really is. And then the last one was, there is no one like you. The mold was broken when God made you. He has plans for you. And I'll end with my own little one. Let them eat cake.
Sounds
okay,
good to me.
Okay, are we done?
Well, we're done.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Vera. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.